Okay, everyone, this is Tales of the Cryptids, a podcast about cryptids, conspiracies, cults, demons, serial killers, and any other horrors, real or not. Join us today for some good laughs as we uncover the truths about the strange and the unexplained.
Happy New Year's, everyone. This is your host, Adam, here with our co-hosts, Ross and Ronnie. This is our first episode of 2020. We look forward to covering many interesting topics over the course of this year. And I'd like to know what you fans out there would like to cover as well. So you can definitely let us know on our Instagram page at Tales of the Cryptids. All underscores in between the words as well. So before we get started, do any of y'all have any New Year's resolutions?
Ooh, no. That's one of those health important.
Yeah.
Been trying to join Adam in these 6 fucking a.m. wake up calls to the gym, but I have been stretching though. I've just been, you know, I haven't been sitting idle. I will tell you that.
It's early, dude.
Yeah. Oh my god.
6 a.m. is like super early, but I mean, if you get it done, you get it done. I'm trying to get healthier too.
That's my goal. I'm with you.
Get healthier and just, you know, keep pounding away at, you know, the business and this and everything we got going on. So
hell yeah.
I'm feeling good. Someone told me I have a dad bod, so I don't know what that means, but I've been eating a lot of carbs, so maybe...
It means you look soft.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen some lot of hard good body. Looking dads at the beach, so I don't know.
2020
but,
dad bod is in, I'm telling you. That's the new definition for males.
Trying to get hard in 2020.
Yeah. But yeah, so I've been eating some salads and other stuff, trying that's to good. Cut back on the carbs, but yeah. Definitely my 2020... I guess that dad bod.
Oh man.
And sure. I'm not even a dad. I wish I had like a mini me to like put like free slave labor.
Well, then
like,
I would, you know,
work on the family farm.
Yeah,
you know,
the Mormon status.
It's like, we gotta do this to prep.
Oh god. Well, crack, that's like one of those interesting facts. Have you heard that when you become, I forget, it's like men go through menopause or whatever version of menopause and their hands grow double the size. It's like you get actual dad strength.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Dad strength's the real thing.
Like,
yeah.
It's like when you hit 45 or like whatever age it is, it's like your hands double in size.
Yeah. It's like farmer strength.
That'll be
it's
great.
Like one thing until you feel it, you don't know how powerful it is.
Exactly. You're just like, oh, shit.
Imagine how much better my basketball skills were.
Just palming.
Just
box out.
Yeah. Put all the basketballs in my palm. Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was like when I was like 15 or 16 playing basketball, and like these 40-year-old dudes would play with us. I'd be like, how are these old guys, you know, they look like they're about to on their way out. They're so strong, you know, like they're just boxing me out.
No,
so that man strength, man.
Mm. All right. So, y'all ready to get into today's topic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, for today, we're going to be talking about speculative zoology, and you know, y'all might be thinking, what is speculative zoology? Well, zoology is a scientific study of the behavior, structure, physiology, classification, and location of a particular animal. And an animal's life during a particular period of time. Speculative zoology, also known as speculative evolution or speculative biology, is the zoology of a hypothetical or made-up animal. So this encompasses cryptozoology, which talk about biology of cryptids like Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and even Godzilla. There's some like really cool books out there on this subject. The book that I read in preparation for this episode is Man After Man, Anthropology of the Future. So Man After Man and Anthropology of the Future by Dougal Dixon.
See, that's one, like, you texted me that, and I started looking up, like, just some minor research, and man goes in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, like, I'm curious, because, like, just off the 5-minute, like, review I watched off this, like, video of the, or 5-minute video review of the book, I was just like, wait a minute, I'm mindfucked now, so.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, Man After Man follows, like, a 20th century human descendants as they colonize space, create undersea societies, and subsets of an increasingly hostile environment. And we're going to go ahead and follow one of Dixon's fanciful creations called the Tundra Dweller.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So the Tundra Dweller is, it's like a large white furred yeti-like human that is genetically engineered 500 years in the future, so that's the 25th century. And it's meant to live in the tundra and conifer forest, which is somewhere in modern Russia. So basically, here, I'll show y'all a picture of it.
That Siberia shit.
Yeah. This dude right here.
Mm. Oh. Looks like a pig monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see, but like, he's not that big, though.
It's a yeti with a really, like, human,
yeah,
like,
yeah, human
wrestler face.
Yeah.
Feel like a fish's mouth. I feel like he could have been like on the wrestler.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Probably.
I'm gonna crush you and yeah, take you to the permafrost.
That thing looks super strong though.
So yeah, very super strong, cuddly. Yeah. So anyways, but mosses, lichen, and heathers provided the slow-moving tundra dweller with their diet. A hook-like nail on the foot developed from the main toe scraped at the moss and also provided a grip on the snow. And they're very migratory by nature, and the dwellers would move to the open tundra each summer but migrate deep into the conifer forest during the winter. And with all migrations, it is the old and the weak and the young who
just from that picture, though, it's kind of random,
like, to like the predators.
They kind of remind me of like a sloth, you know, like going in the conifer, like in the Russian forest. I can just see them like just,
well, like they're standing up. It looks like a, I mean, it looks like a yeti.
Yes, you know, the illustrator for Man After Man, his name is escaping me, but he did such a great job capturing the ideas of Dougal Dixon. So, like I was saying, like they migrate, and these old ones, these young ones, and slow ones, they're getting,
oh, so it's that
they're
famous, getting that peck mentality.
Yeah, they're falling to the prey. So one of the predators was it's a very similar name, the Woodland Dweller, and the Woodland Dweller were also genetically engineered by humans, and at some point, some Woodland Dwellers actually migrate and become isolated on an island. So, over the course of like 50,000 years, this is like 500 years in the future, and then another 50,000 years, they evolve into like these smaller sized humans due to what's called insular dwarfism. That's when like a large animal gets trapped on an island, like an elephant, and then they become like dwarf in size, and then like smaller animals like rabbits become gigantic. So that's so this was insular dwarfism. The other one would be insular gigantism,
like Avatar.
Oh yeah,
so just everything's just like weird shit.
Yeah,
oh, crazy.
Yeah, so they become like very small in size, and at this point, 50,000 years into the future, the humans that did genetically modify both of these dweller type creatures, they're all gone. So now we're just like left with, you know, what we our creations basically.
Do you think there would be war throughout the, like the evolutions of these yetis though? Like, I mean, like we were talking about before, you know, we aired, is like Neanderthals and Homo sapiens. Like, do you think, you know, just because these one sect of yetis learn how to use fire, they're gonna be like holding it over their other heads and like, you know, causing mass extinction and stuff?
Because
I mean, if they're man-made created, you know, that they got to be warmongering.
Well,
or something, you know, like there's got to be some sort of hierarchy. Humans are
fun. You can find war in any pocket
of
any species, I believe.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I don't think it's ever going to outlive anything, or anything that, you know, we create.
Oh, yeah, man.
Most certainly not.
And that's one of
Well, Dixon did go into like other creatures, like the dwellers and this other creature called the aquatic.
Aquatic Ron. No. That used to be the rap name.
Like drop.
Get a shout out.
Yeah, like there are some creatures that would, you know, hunt. He kind of went through like how their relationship with other creatures, their interactions, their niche, like who ate them, what they ate, and stuff like that. But he didn't really mention anything particularly about war from the parts that I read, but there is something interesting that I'll get to it.
Do you talk about what they eat?
Yeah, like I was saying on here, they eat like the tundra dweller eats mosses, lichen, and heathers. Heathers are like this
so isn't
flowery shrub. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
what is it, like, there's some orangutans or something are the only ones that, like...
They'll eat deer.
Yeah, they'll eat deer.
Yeah, they eat everything, basically.
They'll eat each other, like...
That's crazy shit.
They'll, like, have clan battles and stuff like that, like... Yeah. But, jeez.
Mm.
All right, continue.
So, yeah, back to the woodland dwellers who have been isolated on this island. Well, as the climate's changed and the land's changed, and the island... Oh, the tundra dwellers... let me back up for a second. I missed a part. The tundra dwellers, over 50,000 years, become smaller and they become what's known as the islanders. So as the climate changes and the land changes... The islanders are able to reunite with the tundra dwellers, but over the course of 50,000 years, they're also evolving into mm-hmm. these much larger, gigantic tundra dwellers now. So there's these little islanders, right? And there's these gigantic tundra dwellers.
It's that full spectrum. Well, plus, like, even evolution, like, you can see, like, I mean, think of it with people, like, go down to the Philippines or anywhere down there, everyone's like 5 foot. You know, 5 foot five is like the tallest person you'll ever see. Yeah,
that's probably part of insular dwarfism too. Mm-hmm. So the temperature is kind of cold, and since the islanders are so small, they create a symbiotic relationship with the giant tundra dwellers. And the islanders hunt and feed the tundra dwellers. In exchange, they get warmth from their massive body heat. Mm. So they kind of like.
So like kangaroo status.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
little Joey.
So then you have like these little islanders just like crawling on
the backs of the.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a picture of basically little islanders.
It's like a fat dude.
Yeah.
Just a.
It kind of reminds me of like one of those shark things. Like she can
get eat the dead skin off of the shark.
Yeah, what are they called?
What's interesting you say that, because that's what starts happening, basically.
Start picking off all the parasites and stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, like, 1 million years into the future, the tundra dweller, they become very bloated and, like, misshapen. So that's the picture I'm showing y'all right here. And for those who are listening, I can put these pictures up on our IG page, too. So
you gotta check this out. This is
some wonky cool shit. Yeah, some really, really cool looking pictures.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, like the tundra dwellers are lumbering through the forest with like four or five little spindly islanders with their tiny like wrinkled bodies and their little legs.
And for any of you Dungeons and Dragons people, this is a perfect like some Eldar or wizard meeting through the forest or something like that. And
I was reading this article and the guy the author of the article said the exact same thing. This is right out of D&D.
Oh, this is perfect, dude. Mm-hmm. This is like something you like going through the like some Eldar forest, and you know you encounter some spooky shit, and then you just meet this old sagely man with little humanoids crawling over him. He's like, no, they're safe. They protect me and my environment. Here's your quest, young one.
Hmm. Yeah, like so. It really is just
like you're in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, not to get too nerdy on you.
Yeah, so you have like these little islanders who are like crawling over all around the massive tundra dwellers, and just like they develop these large mouths, so they're like starting to feed on them, right? Mm-hmm. And
how big does he say this thing would be?
The giant tundra dweller.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the exact. Yeah.
It's like a polar bear.
But it's, like I think, probably like bigger.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking like 15 feet tall. And then you have like these really shorter, like maybe like 3 or 4 feet.
Just I was just trying to picture how, you know, how big those small little creatures would be that were chilling on them, too.
I'm thinking they're probably like 3 feet, maybe smaller.
Yeah.
Kind of like the ultimate parakeet, you know. It's like I want to train my kittens so when you tap the shoulder, you know, they just like hop right on.
Yeah,
come here though.
I'm surprised there's nothing in like our in the animal species right now that does something like that.
Well, I mean, I guess rates.
except for like the, you know, what do they call it, critten or something that's on sharks.
Oh, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
no, I think ticks and other bloodsuckers and. And what?
Well, I know, like, primates, they do it for each other. Like, you know, they'll, they'll groom each other and stuff like that. Yeah.
But I think this is different. Like, these islanders are basically turning into a somewhat of, a, like, a vampire
type. It's a parasite. It's more parasite.
It's like, it stops being symbiotic, and they start being parasitic.
But they, so then over the thousands of years, they've gotten so sluggish, they can't even do anything about it. They're just slowly dying, getting harvested on.
Yeah, and then, like, in this illustration, I'm thinking that these tundra dwellers, like, they're producing more fat as they eat to kind of sustain.
And this is a world without humans. There's vegetables, every vegetation everywhere. They, you know, everywhere they walk is a buffet. It'd
be so green and luscious.
Oh, yeah. What was it in Vegas that have those famous, like, MGM Grand buffets? I can just imagine Big Yeti just, like, stacking up on some lichens over here, walking up to the chef, being like, yo, give me that prime cut of grass.
Yeah. No gas in your face.
So, Dixon was also talking about, like, even in this age, how they would kind of move, so, like, and where they would go. So, like, they would leave the safety of the forest and like really easily then be brought down and killed by these really agile amphibians, which are the aquatics that I mentioned earlier. And the aquatics are also another former genetically modified experiment as well. So basically these aquatics would like sneak up, right? Just in the open land, like they'd come from the marsh, marshes in the waters, and in the book, they even create underwater societies and stuff like that too. So they start like hunting these like overgrown giant tundra dwellers.
And mind you, Walt Disney, if you have this in your laboratory somewhere, please let us know. This is some scary shit, and I know you're working on something crazy.
So
wasn't there a thing that Walt Disney like froze himself?
Oh, the cryogenically frozen. He's out there in an ice block somewhere, waiting to get reborn.
That'd be crazy.
It's like Demolition Man. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I do remember that movie. That was a great movie.
So great.
I wonder how close we are to something like that.
I'm waiting for the police officers to have their little lightning wands, whatever those.
They always say if you see it in a movie, we're like 15 years ahead or something.
That's like that. Dude, it's like the Star Trek theory.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger is definitely the mayor.
Yeah.
Of
He was or was in California.
And in the movie he is as well.
Okay. What movie? Terminator?
Demolition Man.
A Demolition Man.
Yeah, he's the mayor.
Arnold is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I thought Sly was in that movie.
Sylvester Stallone is the main character. And then you have Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
As the villain.
Yeah.
And you have Arnold Schwarzenegger as the mayor.
It's great.
No way.
My brother calls this a classic shitima, and it's a must see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Shitima.
Oh, it's a great series.
Must see shitima.
It's like, there's this, I fucking forget the name of the movie, but there's an action film in, like, the 80s where he kills, like, some Russian spy on the beach. They're like him and this hot babe are playing frisbee, and then he ejects blades out of the frisbee.
Holy shit.
And just like he somehow convinces the Russian operative to just throw the frisbee around and have a catch on the beach.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one certain catch too late, he whips out the blades and kills it.
Holy shit.
I gotta find this movie.
Wow. That sounds crazy.
Shit, my guys.
I'll continue as you search for this. So, 2 million years into the future. Many warm climate inhabiting tundra dwellers change as the conditions change into what's called the hosts, to the parasite descendants of the islanders. Gone are their like woolly coats and the resistance to extreme cold, but they still retain like the thick deposits of fat, and even like their metabolism generates more fat, so that they can sustain the parasite islanders. So, 5 million years into the future, the travelers of the stars come. And this one's cool because y'all were kind of talking about, like, is there any wars or anything like that? Well, the travelers of the stars, and they're also known as the builders, arrive on Earth. And the builders are an advanced future human species who are distant descendants of the human beings who left Earth sometime in the 25th century, where we started this episode. So, basically, this time, like, 500 years in the future, they've created these creatures from like human DNA, and some humans have actually gone off to space to colonize space. So these are the builders or the travelers of the stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so food is the main purpose of why the builders come back to Earth, and many of the larger animals have been seen as an excellent source of protein for the builders. So the hosts, who were the tundra dwellers, who have now evolved into the hosts so that the parasites can feed on them, soon become enslaved by the builders, who turn the hosts into engineered food creatures. So I want to show you this like next picture. So this one right here is the travelers, the stars. And then look at this, like
Amorphous
big blobs.
Wait, those are the tundra dwellers?
That's what once was a tundra dweller.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Now it's a food machine.
Mm. Oh, so they just like put it into a vat of like fat and just made it into a stagnant food source?
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. So like at this stage, like the parasites are embedded in the fat layers of their like grotesquely misshapen hosts. They really don't care anything about the hosts except for like them continuing to survive. And yeah, the hosts are just like now like dumb feeding machines who continuously eat.
Shit. It's like some form of torture, isn't it?
Well, it's like, isn't that a like veal kind of, you know?
Yeah, like the dark room. Yeah. Or, yeah.
I think
box. I mean, I love veal, so I can't be the one to talk, but it's kind of inhumane.
I always thought that was a joke. Oh. The way they kill the baby lamb. But no.
Yeah, they break its legs.
Yeah, it's fucking ruthless.
What?
Yeah, how they make how veal's made from baby lamb, and what they do is they keep it. So once it's born, they keep it in a dark room until a certain age.
Oh yeah, okay.
And then like the way they kill it is just like, I think they just like slice its throat or shit like that.
It's like they just feed it like high protein milk for like, you know, the first whatever year of its life before muscles start to create, and it's the most tender meat.
Yeah, is this like the what's that beef that they like massage?
Oh, the wagyu.
Wagyu. And yeah,
like, I would love to be a cow for a wagyu beef cow. You just get
that shit's wasted. Expensive, man. I never had that before. Wagyu beef.
My friend actually ordered one steak for $150, and it came in a vacuum sealed bag in the mail and everything.
Was it good?
Oh, he ordered a cast iron just to cook it.
No way.
Do you marinate that though?
Do you cast iron?
No, but like the steak, like
apparently you don't.
It's just like, do you just salt and butter, or do
that's you what? Yeah, like, apparently you just use salt. You use like a little bit of salt and a little bit of butter. Because I saw this this chef. He was like he had a really expensive steak. I think it was wagyu. And he's like, this is not a steak that you marinate. This is a steak that you fully enjoy how it comes. You know?
When I ate a steak, I'd get like a really nice marbled steak. Yeah. And like the cast iron is already seasoned. Mm-hmm. So it already has enough oil in it, like through cooking, mm-hmm. you know, regularly. You just put that steak on there, and like the fat itself, that's all you need. You don't need need any oil or butter. And yeah, like
I love the sizzle of a steak.
Yeah, man. It was like I think it's like seven and a half minutes.
Talk dirty,
right? And like medium, a little bit over medium heat, right? And then I just flip it over, right? And it'd be nice and toasty after like 7.5 minutes. Salt, pepper, mm-hmm. hit the other side for about the same amount of time, and then inside would be like the perfect pinkness.
Have you all heard of that thing?
Nice caramel outside,
tender.
That was like steak test. Oh.
Where you like,
you make a fist, exactly. It's like you clench a fist, and like if it's tight and you poke it, that's like well done.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you like you open your hand up a little bit, it's like the normal part of it. It's like if you want a rare steak, you just touch the meat.
Dude, it just means that we're big ass meat machines.
Oh, yeah,
you know, meat sacks.
We are feeding machines. Oh god,
if somebody wanted don't to get any put ideas, us on government. The grill,
make us some feeding machines.
Yeah, for real.
It's crazy how Dixon was just like, this is my idea of what humans are going to do to what were also once humans to each other. So, like, they've taken the tundra dwellers who became the hosts, who are descendants of humans, and are now using them as feeding machines.
How much acid do you think this guy dropped to get to this point?
Oof. He was straight edge.
He was a straight edge guy?
I don't know.
Don't drink that. He is a straight edge
guy. You come up with these ideas.
He's a God-fearing straight edge man.
Oh, man.
Didn't touch a a drop of liquor once.
Dude, Jesus. You would have an amazing mind if that was the case. This is something that you need. I think you would need some type of stimulant to get you to this point.
It's almost like Lovecraftian in a way. Like, yeah, it is. By the end of it, it's just like the demons using other demons as a power source and like just yeah. like feeding situation and everything.
Like, I always wonder if George Lucas used like any type of psychedelics.
Oh, he had to back in the day. Or cocaine fueled. It was the 80s. Yeah. What was it? Princess Leia had a Coke now.
Yeah.
Like, in the fucking, like, on the cover, you can see her visible
Coke. Have you guys ever seen that Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Oh, dude, it's so funny. Because Larry David's in the psychiatrist's office. And he's talking to the psychiatrist. And he's like, you know, talking about something like, yeah, I got this problem and I got this going on. And he's like, well, you know, I won't tell you who I treat, but he directed a famous film called Star Wars. And he's like, what the fuck? What patient, client confidentiality? Why are you telling me this? Yeah. He's like, I didn't tell you who it was. He's like, he directed Star Wars. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good show. You guys want to watch it? Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I actually really need to.
Not a sponsor.
That's one like, I mean, if you create Seinfeld, though, like,
yeah,
that's like you're a fucking genius.
He's two hits. He's great.
Oh god,
we drifted. We drifted far. We got to Larry David.
Oh man,
all praise Larry David.
All right, let's reel it back in.
That's really funny. All right, so
yeah, I'm almost done.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, no worries.
So the builders, they're called the builders because they like. Are really good at building and colonizing stuff. They erect these large buildings that contain rows and rows of these hosts. They're genetically refined, bloated, misshapen, and like unrecognizable. Like huge mounds of fat and flesh just grow in sturdy racks, fed by chemical nutrients pulsing through the pumps and tubes and connected directly into the tissue. And like harvesting devices just scour through the flesh, removing like the meat and the fat as it grows. So they just sit there and eat all day. You have like the parasites just sucking on them too, right?
Damn, it kind of sounds like modern day cows, like you know, milk machines. They just
sounds like the fucking 400-pound life show.
Oh shit, talking about health.
Yeah,
that's one of those where it's like if you got to get somebody to move your bed sores, like move your fat around, like.
I won't even tell you some of the stories I heard from these nurses, man. They just tell me the grossest stories I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, that's like. Any medical professional that's like has to deal with like the shit or working in a nursing aid like nursing homes or anything like that or
dude, oof. It's brutal.
Yeah, I just want to put all like honor out to them and all the work that they do.
Doing God's work.
They're doing God's work.
Yeah,
seriously. It's great because
they're like allowing elderly people to stay at home too.
For all you healthcare professionals, let us know what you think.
Continue doing all your good work out there.
And continue it and much love.
So, yeah, like, these big, like, fat sacks. Basically, at this point, you only, like, get a few identifiable organs. They're, like, shriveled, pulsing limbs, and they're blind, gaping faces. And it's basically, like, you just... They're just food generators, and they started as something so noble, the Tundra Dweller.
Exactly. Well, how much now, of this is 5 million years post?
This is, 2 million. Oh, 5 million. Yeah. Okay. 5 million years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
A lot can happen in that time.
Yeah, and that's where, like, basically, that's where the end of their story, because centuries later, they all just basically die out.
Well, because humans have only been here for, what, less than 500,000 years? Like, 400,000 years or something crazy like
something
that?
Something crazy.
Like, first...
Yeah,
we haven't been here that long.
Yeah, first Neanderthals.
Been here for a blink.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Compared to the life that's been on Earth.
Yeah, we've been here
for such a small.
All the protein.
I always wondered if humans would somewhat evolve. Like, let's say, you know, like the global warming was just became a big problem, and it just became like super cold, and like you know, we couldn't really find heat like. The way we do now, in a way, like will we develop some type of like thicker skin or some shit like that? Or
I was watching preppers, they were like, the food's gonna run out. There's gonna be droughts.
Yeah.
You have 3 days of supplies in the grocery stores. How much supplies do you have for your house? It's like we have 2 years worth of water.
Oh my god.
How many bags of rice do you have and how many beans?
Yeah. He's like, I just want you to know, he's just looking at the camera, I'll murder any anybody that comes and tries to take food out of my family's mouth.
People ready for it, dude.
Yeah.
I've got a gun in every single room. Don't you try me.
They're ready for the day, man. And honestly, last Sunday was like 69 degrees.
Oh, so nice.
So I was like,
yesterday, today was amazing.
Today was nice. Beautiful. I was like, the end might be coming soon.
Yeah.
When's it ever been this hot in January? Or not hot, but like just warm.
It was so beautiful today.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great day. Sweating.
So yeah, that was that's my
no, I like it though.
Our little story for what speculative zoology is, and
no,
if y'all want to share anything,
that's crazy. It's kind of like, but it kind of shows you like how primitive, like what people think about it. It's that resource war, like come back. Oh, what can we do with these things? We'll mine them for their fat and their food, and we'll make some impossible paste sludge out of it.
Yeah.
Whip it up. Well, that's what human beings are always trying to do, trying to figure out what they can utilize to make themselves more efficient.
Oh, yeah, but we don't even think about the waste.
Like, oh, no.
What is it, like that trash? It's like trash ocean, like
trash island.
Trash islands, like
it's terrible,
mile wide now.
It's like, terrible.
Just throw that shit in the water, who cares?
Yeah. Could we put like nets around it and tie it up and then put dirt on it?
Well, that's
on a new island.
Human beings are terrible, man. Cool. I mean, human beings don't give a shit about the ocean.
Oh, no.
Don't give a shit about. I mean, there's people out there in Japan who are like murdering dolphins.
Oh,
you know, seriously? For their blubber. Oh. You know, there's guys in Africa who are chopping off rhino horns and killing them
for just human pleasure. Just like, yeah. Oh, we'll take a boat ride out and show you how we harpoon some shit. And
I mean,
humans will kill themselves for human pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, so it's like maybe Mother Nature is just giving us what we deserve.
I think Mother Nature will get sick of us. And, you know, I've been my speculative zoology theory is it has to do with, you know, this global warming, this polar ice cap stuff, you know. And I've been listening to a little bit of research where, you know, great flooding happened thousands and thousands of years ago. And so imagine Earth is underwater now.
A water world. That's a cool movie too.
No, that's you know it's.
It was a movie.
Was it a movie?
Yeah. Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
He's he peed in his tomato plant, and then there's a little spigot at the bottom, and he had fresh water.
It's crazy. I wasn't a fan of that movie, but it was a movie.
They have to have everything. But okay, so
it's another. What is it called?
Shittima. Going back to Shittima.
He had a long ass ponytail.
It's a must see. Shittima.
So, okay, imagine polar ice caps melted. We know there might be some islands left, you know, but essentially humans go extinct. So I'm thinking, what race of animal species or fish species could take the 2 million leap? And, you know, what would happen? And honestly, I think right now, dolphins. We've had a lot of study, a lot of research on. Be fucking careful about those dolphins, though. There's some weird facts out there. You know, dolphin rape, it exists.
Apparently they don't attack people, though.
So, it's, there's, like, they don't and they do. Because, like, when they're horny, they get into a rampage.
Oh, really?
It's like, a male dolphin has a dick like an arm. And wow. It can, like, it could drown you. And it's, like, spiky and shit.
Oh, wow.
I think I saw a dolphin at the gym yesterday.
Oh, shit. Just coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Just, like.
I was like, is that an arm?
Jesus Christ.
That's funny.
But, you know.
Oh, can I share a dolphin story?
Oh, yes.
I think I was like 10 years old, and we went camping, and the campsite had like its own private beach at Virginia Beach. So my dad just started swimming out pretty far, and I was just trying to keep up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I swam out until like I couldn't swim, and I was just like, just hold on for a second. Mm-hmm. So I was like holding on to his shoulder, just kicking my legs, and I see like fins, not just one fin, just see if like a bunch of fins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Dad, don't like do look to your left. Do you see all those fins? I was like, are they sharks? And he like takes a closer look. He's like, no, they're not sharks.
Yeah.
Right.
Sharks don't
These dolphins pack. Just swam right through. It's like 10 dolphins.
Just a pack.
Probably trying to flip you over.
Just swam right by us, right? and like I was able to like reach my they're hand out and like touch the wild dolphins.
Yeah.
And my heart was just like pounding. Because like when you see a dolphin, especially because you don't expect it, they're it's not like controlled. There's no person there.
Yeah.
Like I've just swam. I already feel like I swam for my life just to keep up with my dad. And get then these adrenaline. Big giant like 8 foot long beasts are just like swimming right through us. And it's like it was a pretty
they could just take you out if they wanted to.
Yeah, like that's the thing, because there's stories of like I think porpoises.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this on River Monsters one episode.
It's crazy.
And there was like some type of monster, a river monster, that was like pulling swimmers down all the way and drowning them.
Jesus Christ.
Sounds like a crocodile. But yeah, no, dude, I'm telling you, dolphins?
Killer whales do that shit too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, they do that at SeaWorld. If you're at SeaWorld, you're gonna get got.
And within,
I don't trust any of those. Dude,
within the episode, they were like, yeah, they discovered dolphins were coming up the brackish water.
Well, they even
they're so smart.
Well, the Russians, I think, they tried to put sonar, like during World War II. They tried to train dolphins so they could detect minefields or detect submarines or something like that.
You know those like dolphin shows they do at the aquarium.
Oh yeah,
I had a full blown. I was with my ex girlfriend at the time, and like I smoked a joint and went in there, man. And I had a full blown panic attack. And there was like 100 people, so I wasn't trying to freak out and cause a scene.
Oh Jesus!
So I was like, what the fuck's going on?
What's happening?
Why am I freaking out right now? And I like slowly got up and walked away. I didn't even say anything to my ex or my girlfriend at the time. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I can't be in there for some reason. It's like too like hot, claustrophobic. Too many people. Wow. Dolphins are like doing crazy. I don't know. I freaked out.
Dolphins in your head.
It's funny.
There's we're talking about like symbiotic relationships. Mm-hmm. There are dolphins who round up fish for fishermen into nets.
Oh shit!
And then the fishermen take a cut of the fish captured in the nets and feed it to the dolphins. They've been doing this for hundreds of years.
That's crazy.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah.
Dude, dolphins are super smart, man, and. You know, there are some scientists that were trying to figure out their language with sonar, because they do have like a specific language that they're talking, and different dolphins have different tribes, so it's like different pockets, it's like different communities of dolphins.
So it's like, but can dolphins go to different communities? It's like
they'll get fucked up.
It's like that alpha male kind of thing. It's like, are you can't enter my tribe, or you know, unless you're a girl.
I think it's like territorial type thing. Hmm. It's like, you know, it's like a line pack.
Yeah,
you can't just walk into a different line back because they'll destroy you.
It's like, unless what? It's like the bitch with wolves. Like, unless you're a female wolf, then you can join the pack. But
exactly,
that alpha male stuff. I don't know.
I'll be so curious, like, if one day we could figure out like the dialect and the language.
That would be crazy.
That they're talking, man. Like, that would be insane.
Or actually have like a two-way communication path.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Because none of these animals attack. Like, there's no recorded history of a killer whale in the wild who's attacked a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about dolphins.
Well, the dolphins are different because they've only done it, like, they put mannequins out there in, like, water.
Yeah.
And so they've actually had roving gangs of a male. It's a, like, young male dolphins. They'll take this mannequin, and then they take it to a cave. And then there's a couple scientists that, like, went back and just, you know, to see what happened to like their mannequin.
Oh,
and,
God.
And it was like torn apart, dolphin cum everywhere, like
not a prezi floating in the water.
Oh man, like yeah,
they just destroyed it.
Pair of panties just like flown across the, like, Jesus. The cave. Oh, like,
goddamn,
it's like I'm done. I'm picturing like a scared mannequin with like like dolphin kit, like lipstick.
Oh god, just crying in the corner.
Yeah, that's
okay. Painted on teardrop.
Exactly. I've seen some shit, man. But I don't know. So like, kind of like the. So these are a sea animal that's with a pack mentality. You don't really have that too often. They're one of the only. I mean, they're one of the only mammals besides like what is it? Seals are mammals, right?
There's whales.
Yeah, seals and whales and that sort of thing. But it's kind of like that. Cohabitation and that pack mentality is, I think, that's what gets them. You know, first 50,000 years, they're one of the highest predators. Like, they can, you know, there's dolphins recorded cases of like defending themselves against predators and sharks and stuff.
Yeah, they destroy sharks.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean...
They're
so,
thriving species, man, you know.
Well, and it's like... So, you don't have, like, opposable, you know, thumbs. You can't really create or engineer stuff. But imagine all in New York City has been encased in water. Like, you know, you're gonna have, like, off... Like dolphins in offices and shit. Like, give them, like...
Doing office work.
2 million years. They got the faxes running and everything. Like... Mm-hmm. They got the phone lines, like underwater phone lines coming. I don't know.
So I really think if we like, if we lived, if like, if people in America, because I know in different countries, it's more of a community based thing,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like depression is a lot lower in the other countries, and I feel like if we here in America did more tribes or more communities or more, had, you know, more villages or whatever, mm-hmm. then it would just, it would totally like destroy a lot of things like depression and.
Well, it's like, I think of like, even a family is a village or a tribe. Like, you know, in most cultures, most people don't move out of their parents' house until they're like, you know, the wife moves in the basement with them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once they've saved up enough money, like, they don't take out a loan.
Yeah.
Like, go to Greece, like, granted, Greece is in the shitter right now, or their economy, but like...
Australia, too. I mean, you know, it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, people just, like, in other countries just hang out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think in America, where it's like the rat race. Yeah. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. I can't. Yeah. I can only do it for, like, an hour, let's hang for an hour.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, in other places, there's, like, no, I don't have anything to do. My thing to do is to hang out.
Yeah.
And I have whatever to see my happens. Family. Yeah.
Life feels too short here. Yeah. And in other countries, life, you know, seems a lot longer. Because people aren't as stressed about certain things.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like I have an Italian roommate, and, you know. Nonna lives down the street. Yeah. His aunt lives down, you know, next door.
It's like Italy's big with that.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's huge with that. It's like an open door policy.
It's like you put your fingers together, like that bop of the boop. You got to see your family.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh, God. No, but it's like kind of like, but when do you think, so we're entering mermaids. Do you think dolphins could have a co-intermingling? And become that, like, because I'm wondering...
Mermaids.
It's like that merman race. Merman race.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to call it, like, but that's the transition from dolphins. You know, 2 million years, like, when do they become sentient? Because, I mean, I think, like, going off, like, you know, just like, all right, we have a timeline here, first 50,000 years, they're just getting to know the spot. New York City's theirs, you know, gangs are starting to, you know, come on the streets and everything. Hide your children. Another couple hundred thousand years go by. You know, there's just aquatic life everywhere, you know. There's probably, you know, Chernobyl and shit. There's going to be some bad... You know, you don't go towards those bad parts of the water. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's... I think that...
We would have to adapt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I don't think people... Like, I don't see a world where there, you know, will be, like, a full extinction of every human being.
Oh, no.
You know? Not here. Even if, like, the world was flooded... We'd find ways to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. You
know? We would still have a water source, being the rain. We still have a food source, being the sea. You know, mm-hmm. It would just have to be a situation of, do we find shelter or do we evolve to, like you're saying, have some type of appendage?
Like co-intermingling.
You know, that's interesting. Even if it's not the dolphin route, because
mm-hmm.
I have a point about, you know, dolphins... They talk about things, and I think they have the ability to tell stories, or there's, like, research ongoing about them being able to tell stories, which is a part of culture, and so they're kind of forming their own dolphin culture, which I think is kind of an evolutionary step as well, but what you're talking about, there's people that have been genetically are different, their eyes are different, so that they can see underwater.
Because
they're like fishermen tribes, and they have like blue eyes. Sure. They're able to see underwater, which is cool. Under salt water and be fine.
From just like genetics, evolving into something. Yeah, because that's their main. Yeah, because so, if that's your main source of like how you get food in a specific area, then you know your body probably will, you know, adapt to whatever.
Probably
you need
like
to do.
You know, 10,000 years or something. That would do a lot to your body.
So there's definitely. I think even there's like one tribe off the coast of Africa. I don't know if it's the Indian Ocean or not, but Yeah, like they have like blue eyes and they can like go in brackish water.
Wow.
And be fine. And then there's like other tribes out there that could just hold their breath for so long. And another aspect is of it is like whales have hip bones.
Yeah, that's right.
So
they do.
So what if like the dolphins kind of hop out onto some land? They can already breathe.
Yeah.
So what if they start beaching themselves, but like get stronger, like get their shoulders and traps going,
start doing push-ups,
and they're able to like move? Maybe like who knows in a couple million years how their bodies could change, and maybe they're able to get up on land and come back off like a seal. You know, maybe a seal.
See, that would be, yeah.
Or a walrus, because they're able to.
To maneuver both. Yeah, I like that theory, actually.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know if they have the same mental capabilities as a dolphin.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think like the pack mentality and the communication is what drives you to become like that next level in humanity.
Or yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, something where you can like communicate with your surroundings, be able to manipulate it, and then use it to your advantage. It's like, what would be the water equivalent of creating fire? You know what I mean? Or something like that. Like what?
You mean like underwater?
Yeah, it's like, you know when humans created the wheel? Mm-hmm. Or it's like when humans created fire, that was like a significant point in history where you're like, all right, we have evolved. We, you know.
I think it more, well, I think, see, that's the strange part about it, because since we developed fire, we didn't have to hold so much blubber.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to, like our bodies didn't have to adapt to being like more hairy and having like a double coat like some mm-hmm. dogs do, you know.
I think it's some sort of gel would be, and like you've seen like flubber,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that could actually like, it wouldn't be a suit, but it'd be like, it'd almost like a gel suit where it would like stick to your whole body, but in that gel suit you could like breathe.
That'd be,
and you could function.
Cool.
You know, like you would on land as you could in the water.
You know what sea creature I think could make it? Hmm. Just thinking about what we're talking about, and also it's very intelligent, like octopus.
Oh,
because they have the arms. Like, have you seen the videos of them like unscrewing themselves out of a jar?
Yeah.
Or like,
but they're kind of like alligators, though. They have like no soul.
Oh.
They're not intelligent.
I don't think you have to have a... I mean, you could be as vicious as you want, mm-hmm. but they're super intelligent.
Octopuses are?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're very intelligent.
I know that. But
they're escape artists.
Dumb.
No, they're one of the more intelligent
I just know
species.
I'm strong.
On Earth. Yeah, I mean, they can change colors.
They can go through some crazy circumstances. Like, the mother, I know, will... like not eat for like 50-year period or 40-year period or something, so it'll know it's gonna die.
How long do they live?
Oh, they live for very long times.
Wow.
Like and by the way, that movie was a fast ticket to Hawaii, or hard ticket to Hawaii for any shit 'em up people out there.
Hard ticket to Hawaii. That sounds like a shit 'em up.
Oh, hard ticket. Okay, let's see. I'm looking this up. How long do octopi live?
Yeah, because like I can really imagine some type of Cthulhu-like creature evolving, you know, millions of years into the future.
Well, apparently I'm wrong. Then I have to check my sources. Giant Pacific octopus, 3 to 5 years. Okay.
3 to 5.
Yeah, wow. I swear I'm gonna have to go back to the National Geo I was looking at. Where
they get big too, man.
Mothers go through some crazy circumstances.
You think there's octopuses out there that are like as big as whales?
Oh, giant squid and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
There's like reports and like really old photographs of like 100-yard tentacle washing up.
Imagine that calamari.
Dude,
man,
it'd be amazing.
Those rings the size of you.
Oh yeah.
What do octopuses eat though? Like just fish?
Fish, crabs, mm-hmm. crustaceans. They eat a lot of crabs.
Wow.
They like chill, and they change their color to look like the rock.
Wow.
And they like jump in and just like suck up a crab.
I wonder if they're as strong as like an anaconda type grip.
They're pretty strong.
I know they got beaks.
So yeah.
It's like when they put it up, they can like crush a crab just with its mouth and just like, it's like a bird. Mm-hmm. Bird's beak.
I think one of the biggest species that I find fascinating, this might be off topic, but grizzly bears, man. I think they are absolutely incredible.
Oh,
Say Grizzly Bear Man.
Yeah, Grizzly Bear Man.
Grizzly Bear. Yeah.
I never seen one, but I feel, I, you know, imagine like what you would feel. Like you probably feel your balls drop to your chest or something if you saw a grizzly bear in real life.
Yeah.
Just like the endorphins that would just go to the front of your brain.
What was
the
it?
Size, the power.
They tell you as soon as you see a bear, you're supposed to like get its attention or something. Like,
nah.
Well, it's like
it says, yeah. Or get big.
Yeah, get big. Yeah. It's like,
screw that, man.
No, you definitely want to.
It's like
you I think you just
let it know you're there.
Duh, you don't outrun it. You don't turn your back.
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll try to ambush you, but I think you do get big. It's
yeah.
like, hey, I'm here, but I'm stepping away. Just walk backwards. I think that's probably one of the safer things to do, to get away from its territory.
Oh, exactly. But, well, depends if it has a cub around it too.
But don't run away.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like a dog. You ever see a dog chase a rabbit?
Dude.
And the grizzly bear is like looks like a big dog.
I mean, it's a big dog.
So yeah. I went camping in New Mexico, and so we had to hang our stuff in bear bags every night.
Oof.
And so it's like, if you had any food in your tent or wherever, you like, they're like, no, if nothing, you know, it has to all go up in the trees. Like, they will find it and they'll search it out. They'll open your shit up. And the last thing you need is a bear.
My buddy lives in Seattle, and his girlfriend loves to hike, and you know he's a city guy, so he just does it because she likes to do it. And he's like, you know, there's signs up there where they hike that says like, beware of like grizzlies and mountain lions, and I'm like, do you have a gun when you go up there? He's like, dude, no, we just have like bear spray. I'm like, bear spray's not gonna do anything,
nope.
dude. If a grizzly bear is like coming at you,
nope.
bear spray is a, you know, you're gonna drop that.
Oh,
because they ain't gonna do anything.
Plus, you got it's one shot. Your eye. You got one shot.
You got one shot
charging at you. Your adrenaline's pumping. No
yeah.
way. You're not a trained military expert. You're not gonna just like whip that shit out and bust a headshot.
Even
no.
if you had a gun, you're probably not gonna hit it like
no.
you know all the way.
What
yeah,
is it?
You're freaking out.
Lewis and Clark's first grizzly bear, they like took out three people and they got like 14 musket shots in it before it went down. No way.
I remember, I think I was talking to you, and I think you were here too. Jeremy said that he believes that he could fight a gorilla. Yeah, I was like,
oh,
you're an idiot, dude.
I do remember.
I was like, your fucking arms get ripped off your body.
Yeah.
A silverback gorilla was like over 1,800 pounds.
Oh, no, dude.
I have faith in
him. You'd break him like a twig, dude.
There's a video
he's
of
like,
him.
Man, he's like, and he's serious about it. He's like, I think I have a chance, man. I'm serious, man. He's like, I don't know.
Or I'm like, a chance to survive. He has a chance to survive.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a chance to win.
I don't have a chance to walk again.
There's a video of
him. I mean, is it sedated?
There's a silverback grabbing like a cameraman, like,
dude,
and dragging
it's
him.
Over.
God.
It's
okay.
over.
But the one thing I think, German Shepherd police dog, do you think you could take it? There's no,
no.
policeman. Just you have to like my. I think I like everyone thinks I'm crazy, but that's my silverback.
I think I think you can kill a dog.
It's like yeah.
If you feel like, dude, I don't know, man. Like some of these pit bulls, dude.
Well, things you let it. You know, your arm
gonna
is
get
a hamburger.
Yeah, you're gonna get bit.
You have to let it bite your arm.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's hamburger.
Yeah.
You know that.
What, do you choke it out?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I think you have to choke it.
You gouge its eyes, and then you get on top of it. I mean, it's you just don't put your neck, and then you know.
Yeah.
Granted, the dog has a good chance of getting the throat, but like, I think you know.
I think you can do it. If a grown man, one of us. I think if you felt like you're. You know, life was on the line, or like your girl, or like your child, whatever. Mm-hmm. You probably could do it.
I'm thinking like WWE. Yeah. You fucking suplex that dog. Like
you figure something out.
In the moment, you grab it and then you fling it over your shoulder and land on it.
Rip your arm off.
Oh,
it would rip a.
Yeah.
Your blood be everywhere.
Your hamburger.
Yeah.
But you're killing.
I would try to. Just bring it as close as I could. Like,
just how you get your throat ripped out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's on my arm or my leg. I probably try to put it like
oh, and like
in between.
Out.
Yeah, be like, what was that movie? Not iRobot with Will Smith. The zombie movie.
Yeah, that was iRobot.
No.
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Yeah,
he's
like choked the dog.
He's like poor. His poor. Almost cried.
That was I almost cried too. That was a hard thing to watch, but he choked it out like that. Because dogs have incredibly strong necks too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So it's hard to choke them out.
German Shepherd, you gotta like blind it or something.
You gotta do something, man. Rip his eyeball out.
I don't know how we got on German Shepherd text.
Silverback
gorillas.
Yeah,
It's just as fun.
Would they evolve? Would they just evolve into police? Like, they would be the police of all the animal world.
Planet of the Apes.
Zootopia. Oh, they're just German Shepherds are all the police. Oh. Yeah, they're like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, you're just terrible.
Like, oh, shit. Dolphin comes out, it's like, peeks his head, and there's like, rah, 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 rah.
It's like a dog siren, just be a series of barks.
Yeah. All right. Does anyone else have any?
No, that's a one topic of taking out German Shepherds.
Yeah.
That's really funny. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for today. And, I really want to know what all of you listeners are thinking out there. And hit us up on our IG page. That's Tales of the Cryptids, all underscores in between the words. And if y'all like what we're doing, we can certainly go through other creatures in the realms of Man After Man and Anthropology of the Future. And he has some other books too, like After Man, A Zoology of the Future. So just like let us know what y'all want to hear. Like, we want to do Men in Black.
That's gonna be fun.
And just hit us up. That's Tales of the Crypt. It's all underscores in between on our Instagram page, and whatever topics. So yeah, thank you for listening, and love you all. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Much love.
Peace.
Tales of the Cryptids podcast is brought to you by Jam from the Fam. Jam from the Fam is an Australian-born, American-made chili jam that's delicious with every bite. You can check them out at www.jamfromthefam.com, or you can go to @jamfromthefam on their social media. Make sure to check these guys out. That jam is delicious, and you'll never want to go back. Jam from the Fam.